following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Hi, I'm Brandon Weatherby.
And I'm Chris Kelly. Our greatest responsibility is to serve our professional wrestling and presidential politics communities. We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism the Great American Bash produces.
But we're concerned about the troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided feuds plaguing our industries. The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some dirt sheets publish these same fake stories, stories that just aren't true, without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the WWE universe use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think. This is extremely dangerous to sports entertainment.
On the Great American Bash, it's our responsibility to pursue and report the R-Truth. We understand the R-Truth is neither politically left nor right. Our commitment to factual reporting is the foundation of our credibility. Then, now, forever.
But we are human, and sometimes our reporting might fall short. If you believe our coverage is unfair, please reach out to us by going to facebook.com/gabpod and clicking on follow. We follow your comments. We will respond back to you, but it doesn't matter what you think.
We work very hard to seek the R-Truth and strive to be fair, balanced, and factual. We consider it our ring of honor, our privilege, to responsibly deliver the news every week.
Thank you for listening, and we appreciate your feedback. And that's the bottom line.
Ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We're sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel, future home of WrestleMania 35, maybe? 36?
Maybe?
They already announced 35, didn't they?
It's Minneapolis.
Damn it.
Yes. Isn't it?
No, it's New York. New York/New Jersey.
Yeah, it's New York, New Jersey. I might go, because that's close. That's easy.
You mean the last time Donald Trump appeared in a WWE stadium?
Listen, he might need the work by then. It's Wednesday, April 4th. About 10:20 a.m. It is day 438 of the Trump Universal Championship reign. That means 4 days until WrestleMania Fleur-de-Lis.
Is that what it's officially called?
No.
Okay, so for normal people, this is WrestleMania 34.
Because that's how numbers work.
But to Vince McMahon, it's WrestleMania New Orleans because he doesn't like numbers because it makes his company sound old.
It makes him sound old because he's going to die one day and mortality is a thing
we each grapple with. I believe in McMahonism. Which is a religion that the McMahons created and presented on Monday Night Raw, and then it led to a pay-per-view feud of Shane McMahon, Vince McMahon, facing Shawn Michaels and God. This is a real thing that happened.
And the McMahons won.
And the McMahons won because God got buried.
Well, this is we are recording a few days after Easter, so there you go. Donald Trump has now surpassed CM Punk as the longest reigning champ of the modern era.
It's disappointing. Come on, Punk. It's time to come back.
He has to have more than 4 years to pass, to pass Hogan.
There's no way he could pass Bruno unless he does the 12.
That's like 4,000 days. It's a long time. I can't imagine having one champ for that long. It's WrestleMania season. We're on the road. We're approaching WrestleMania.
We're in the slow crawl. We're there. We could see the arena.
Yeah,
we run out of gas completely.
we're totally gassed. It's 7 hours long. Okay, so... You know, it's Mania season. There's a lot going on. And it's kind of the same thing going on right now politically, where we've talked about this before. It just gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
Here's how it's going. This is just some of the headlines. Today comes out that Donald Trump has been told he's not a target in the Russia investigation. There's maybe a trade war brewing with China. There's been a new push on immigration and DACA and NAFTA. We'll get to that in a little bit. Trump says he's going to pull the troops from Syria. There's the whole Stormy Daniels thing. Staff shakeups.
Yeah.
Superstar shakeups. there was a little bit of a feud with Amazon and Washington Post.
Yeah. Even though it's really just a feud between Trump and the idea of Jeff Bezos.
Because Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world.
That's right.
Depending on the day.
Yeah. So this is the idea of the $1 million man versus an actual $1 billion man.
Yes. And this is a quote from the Washington Post. This is from Ted Olson, former Solicitor General. I think everybody would agree this is turmoil, it's chaos, it's confusion, it's not good for anything. We always believe that there should be an orderly process, and of course government is not clean or orderly ever. But this seems to be beyond normal. So that's a former, that's a Republican, a conservative, that's his thoughts on the matter. But, you know, as the Post says, people close to the president offer a different view. I don't see anything under siege. I see it as the big red machine, incoming National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow said.
He's trying to put over Kane, who's running for mayor.
Yeah, this year, much like, it's just been so much Kane. Like, Kane keeps getting booked in main events, and I'm not a fan of Kudlow or Kane.
I'm a bigger fan of Kane.
Yeah, I think so. I think I agree with him more on things. Somehow.
So, yeah, it's overwhelming, and I think this is what he wanted. Good for him.
Yeah.
The booking worked. It's like, yeah, we're going to give Reigns the belt. You're not going to like it, but you're going to deal with it.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough few months. It's going to be a lot of stuff on the card, which we will get to.
But you're going
to
buy this Big Dog shirt ironically, and apparently then you just become a natural fan.
Yeah.
This is how Cena happened.
People will talk about creeping fascism. Just be careful. This guy's going to be John Cena one day. That's something to think about.
No, let's be honest. Okay, let's go from 2015 Trump to now. Okay. 2015 Trump, regardless of the style of honor, you were watching those debates. You're like, this guy's fucking nuts. This is crazy.
This can't possibly happen.
What was Cena year one? This guy's crazy. He's got a big chain. He's hitting the Big Show with the chain. Now he's the United States champion at WrestleMania 20. He's fucking over.
Yeah.
By WrestleMania 21, you're like, this is annoying.
This is annoying. Why is he trying to like rap like Marky Mark?
It's like, who are you stealing from? You're just racist. You're just co-opting other cultures and burying people.
At home, I mean, not just, we will get to this also, but not just racist in the appropriation, but just glaringly, like just homophobia was the punchline of every joke. But he doesn't do that anymore, obviously. He would never talk about like a man's balls
so
on
that's
Monday
20,
Night Raw.
That's 2016 Trump and WrestleMania 21 Cena, and then 9 straight years of headlining WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And just everyone was fucking bored of it. But then all of a sudden, like, this guy's work rate's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, PWG Cena was really good for a couple years there. The U.S. Challenge, he had a match with Rusev where Rusev had a tank. We're big fans of that.
Come on, so then all of a sudden Cena's great, and then you're like, is this ironic?
Does it come full circle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trump sooner or later is going to appear on Ellen and dance and like paint a portrait of himself in a bathtub. He's going to pull a Cena after 15 years or a George Bush after invaded Iraq 15 years later.
Yeah, no, I mean like, George Bush is like, people are like, oh, remember George Bush? He was such like a funny war criminal. He choked on a pretzel one time.
They threw a shoe at him.
That's crazy.
That's where we're going.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the booking. That's what the writing on the wall. Speaking of the wall. Yes. Nailed it.
We are going to build a great border wall to stop illegal immigration.
Oh, I want to make it very clear to the people listening. When I get really excited when we talk about the wall, it has nothing to do with the idea or reality of putting up a border, an arbitrary border on two countries at all.
Yes.
Not a fan of this booking.
No.
Not a fan. This does not help CMLL. This does not help WWE. This is bad for everyone.
Yeah. We don't want to keep Lucha Underground.
No, that's good. I'm laughing because Jericho is so great.
Yeah, no, he's great. I'm kind of disappointed he not really ended up being a one and done in New Japan.
We don't know that.
Okay.
We don't know anything.
We don't know. Yeah, I don't want to get...
We'll get to Mania in a minute. So, big wall update, not a joke whatsoever. As of yesterday, there was a press conference at the White House, and Trump said, hey, you know what would be cool at this wall?
He didn't say that.
He said this exact quote. He said, you know what would be cool? We got all these Royal Rumbles. We got all these feuds. What we need is a lumberjack match. We need to create a system of people. Rather than a wall, people could walk around walls. People can't walk around people. And by the way, I watched Monday Night Raw. They had a wall between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, and that clearly worked out. But it didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
It didn't work out at all. So that's the new thing. We're going to send troops. We're going to take troops away from Syria and put them at the border.
Yeah.
That'll be fun for everyone.
Yeah. The good thing to remember with this is that it's probably not going to happen.
We've said that way too many times.
No, I mean, even in Trump land, this is just like this is a Trump thing. This is apropos of nothing. When you were kind of like paraphrasing his or / direct quoting, because like, I do want to just read this that doesn't fit in at all, but quote, when at the Easter egg roll.
Oh, yeah.
which was a lot of fun. I also want to thank the White House Historical Association and everybody who works to keep this incredible house or building or whatever you want to call it, because there really is no name for it. It's special, and we keep it in tip-top shape. We call it sometimes tippy-top shape, and it's a great, great place. There's no home for the White House. There's name for the White House.
Hold on. Is the White House similar to the WWE Hall of Fame? It's not really a place. It's more of an idea.
It's not like an actual hall. I get that. It's not a Hall of Pain. It's not a Hall of Fame. It's just, yeah, it's in your heart. The Hall of Fame was inside us all along.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
Can we just talk about WrestleMania?
No, we should do one more thing.
Okay.
We opened our show with a nice PSA, a nice warning to everyone that we are trying to be a fair and balanced WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA, New Japan Pro Wrestling Network show.
Yeah.
On the network.
On the network.
On the network.
They'll hire us, yeah.
This podcast started as an indie promotion, but we are on the road to WrestleMania, on the road to a Ring of Honor show, because Tribune might get bought by Sinclair. Yeah. Sinclair owns Ring of Honor. Why does this matter? Because the Donald, WWE Hall of Famer, tweeted out something very important since the last time we recorded this episode. So funny to watch fake news networks, among the most dishonest groups of people I have ever dealt with, criticize Sinclair Broadcasting for being biased. Sinclair is far superior to CNN and even more fake NBC, which is a total joke. This stuck out to me for multiple reasons.
Yeah, I would just something with the fact that WWE is currently shopping its
that
TV
is
rights
correct.
Around. Yeah.
The WWE is currently the majority TV rights, because not all the TV rights, because like pay-per-views and Facebook Lives, whatever. Monday Night Raw,
actual TV,
SmackDown is on USA Network, which is owned by NBC Universal. Donald Trump is a WWE Hall of Famer. I was just taken aback by this. Why? How dare you? How dare you try to sully the WWE's name? But then I realized, hey, Fox might buy this shit, might buy this fake shit, and put it on real TV on Monday nights, regular network TV, and put SmackDown on Fox Sports. That might happen. So now I think, what a great move for a WWE Hall of Famer. Then I think, wait, where do all these guys come from? Where does Kevin Owens come from? Where does Sami Zayn come from? Where does Daniel Bryan and CM Punk come from? They come from Ring of Honor. So he's putting over Ring of Honor, which is owned by Sinclair. This might be the greatest wrestling tweet of all time that does not mention wrestling.
Yes. We're going to do a concussion protocol later. Just make sure you're okay so you can wrestle on Sunday.
Yeah, so a bunch of propaganda bullshit, whatever. Whatever, yeah. Bro.
No, I mean, listen, everybody, this is like, it's really bad that local news that's being beamed into people's houses every night is...
You mean the thing that most of Americans watch?
Yeah, no, it's horrible.
The number one thing Americans watch.
Yeah, local news. Yeah. They trust...
I'm not joking.
People trust,
like,
no, they, people
we're not
trust
joking.
Local news
local
more
news,
than
networks. Yes, thank you. They have higher viewerships as well.
Yeah. But we are in the age of just, like, warring billionaires. So there's nothing stopping, say, a Jeff Bezos from buying Sinclair Media. He could do that. He's the richest man on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what if he wanted to do that?
You think this is going to get
fantasy booking our media landscape?
Okay, so there's one other company that we haven't talked about that has some TV interest that is going to feud with Donald Trump. It's Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban owns Axis. Is that how it's spelled? Axis TV.
AXS.
Yes, and they are the United States broadcaster of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
But motherfucker can't handle his dick right, so now he's getting Me Too'd, and by saying he's getting Me Too'd, I mean he didn't handle his shit right. It's not he is not a victim in any way whatsoever. Right. He's fucking up the booking, dude.
Yeah, I just want Sheamus to put him through a table.
Get your house in order, Mark Cuban, so we could have this wonderful feud that I want. Yes. I want 2020 Cuban Trump Indies versus WWE Universe.
That could very well happen.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, so fantasy booking. It is WrestleMania on Sunday. It's WrestleMania week.
This is the big show of the week. It has to be.
That's WrestleMania. It's the biggest show.
Well, it's a big show.
WrestleMania Fleur-de-Lis. On paper, I'm going to put this down. On paper, it's the best card ever.
I completely agree.
So, and it's, we'll go match by match, but basically the kind of broken down into some ideas here. Best things about this. The McMahons are featured, but without taking like a regular wrestler spot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got Triple H and Stephanie against Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle, or as Kurt Angle calls her, Ronda Rowdy, because he has a mush brain.
God.
So you've got that like special attraction match. Two of them can't actually wrestle. One of them's really hurt. One of them wants to do a 25-minute match, but this will preclude him from doing a 25-minute match. I honestly think the intros and all that, I don't think they're going to do a book an actual 25-minute slow plodding Triple H wants to be Harley Race match. Do not think they will do that.
Here's my are we going to predict right now, or are we just going to go through the card really quick?
I just want to go through these, okay, like top line stuff. But anyway, I was getting too far in the weeds on that. But like Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan against Sammy and Kevin, mm-hmm, it's culminating a year long storyline, which is, it's Daniel Bryan's been in this feud for like, or excuse me, Kevin's been in the feud for 9 months with this. It has the most women featured on the card ever.
That's true.
There's a lot of clean one-on-one matches with good stories and matchups, dream match type stuff, kind of real headline main event stuff. The multi-man and tag matches get spots for everyone that deserves one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no piss break match anymore, because we'll get to why. That would be just, it's a 7 hour, it starts at, the pre-show starts at 5, there's 3 matches on it. The regular card starts at 7, it's going to go till probably midnight.
Do you want to go through the card right now?
Yes.
Okay.
There are 14 matches. The pre-show, I was predicting this, and I was kind of close, but they've announced it's going to be the cruiserweight match between Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali.
This will be the best match of the night in terms of work rate, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm AJ Nock.
No, maybe. Yeah, that's a good one. So it'll be between this two. It'll be like one of the last matches of the night and the first match on the card.
Yes. That'll be a fun one. Where can you watch the pre-show? Do they put that on YouTube still?
No, I think it's on USA.
Oh, okay.
It's on network television.
So you can watch on USA.
So you will need my cable password for this one.
Yes.
Okay.
And then there are two battle royales. There's the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, which I wasn't sure would be on the pre-show because they've got the Andre doc. They don't, but there is an Andre documentary coming out.
We didn't know if this was going to be on the pre-show last year because we were convinced Gronk was going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Gronk did show up. It stayed on the pre-show.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the pre-show. And I think it actually helps because this might be the last minute. This is their last chance to get someone to subscribe to the network or to buy that $50 to $75 pay-per-view, which you still can do, by the way.
Who would do that?
So when I have to pay last year I had to pay a Comcast bill, mm-hmm, and occasionally they'll put you on hold. They still do that. And I know exactly who would do it. People that don't have good internet.
Yeah. If you can't stream this for free,
because
your first month is free. And there's also a WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale.
So could we pick winners on this or no? Should we
go? Sure.
I'm going to go Cedric Alexander wins the cruiserweight.
I'm going Mustafa Ali.
Perfect. We already have differences. Andre the Giant, who are you picking?
I was going to say Jinder, but he's in a match. Mark Henry. Big
That's
show,
what I was actually
going like to
go.
That,
I was going to go Mark Henry because he's in the Hall of Fame that night.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go Mark Henry, I'm going to take that back, and I'm going to go with Curt Hawkins.
Oh, he gets his first win?
He gets his first
win. Nice. After going through the wall on Monday? Yeah.
Women's Battle Royale, I'm going Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
She got dropped from the main card. Come on.
I know. That she's the one. Well,
In terms of who's left in the Battle Royale,
actually,
she's the best wrestler. She's also the most over who's left.
Yeah, yeah. It depends how they do it. I think the Sasha Bailey feud can kind of work itself.
They eliminate each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it continues the feud. Okay, so then we've got our main card. This is not, it's in a weird order, but so Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. If Sami and Kevin win, they are reinstated. If not, they stay fired.
Mm-hmm.
I think this match of Daniel Bryan, I mean, it's weird because they booked it in such a way that Daniel Bryan's team basically has to lose because they're obviously, these guys aren't going to stay fired unless they just bring him back on Tuesday. Because as we've seen in the past, like with Shane and Undertaker, the stipulation doesn't actually matter. Remember, Shane was supposed to like be done with WWE and he's been here for like an eternity.
Yeah.
What do you think about this match?
I think that Daniel Bryan will work. It'll be like a 15-minute match.
Mm-hmm.
Shane will eat the pin.
Yes.
But there will be some problems, some issues with the whole thing. It won't matter. Everyone will be very happy with it at the end of the day.
I think there's also a way to book it where Shane eats the pin, and then Kevin and Sammy are still beating him up.
Yeah,
And Daniel Bryan gets to have the yes moment.
There you go.
They clearly want that. Talked about it briefly. Kurt and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Here's my dream match. It's a 15-minute slog with Triple H versus Kurt,
mm-hmm,
and then one tag with Ronda Rousey, and then she crushes Stephanie McMahon in like 5 seconds.
Okay. Do you...
I don't want this to happen,
but
in terms of like the most realistic option I want to happen, that's the most realistic option I want to happen.
Yes. I'll do a prop bet with you Because we will be gambling on this.
Yes, we gamble on this, and I sent you the odds yesterday.
Yeah.
For the people listening at home, yes, this is completely fake, made-up bullshit.
And there's odds.
There are betting odds on this. Fun story. We've talked about this a lot in both our book and our this podcast. Mm-hmm. And there's a great series from The Lapsed Fan about this. At WrestleMania's 4 and 5, it was at Trump Plaza, but it really actually wasn't at Trump Plaza. It was just built there. Anyways, you could gamble on the matches, and guess who knew the endings of all the matches? The wrestlers. And guess who gambled in the casinos on the matches? The wrestlers. They won.
Yeah, they always do. They had the
pencil. No, they never do.
They had
this
the pencil.
Is a horrible
they had
life.
The pencil. They went over. Okay, we are going to gamble on WrestleMania bingo that I will make, as I usually make, but I'll do a prop bet. I think this will be shorter than the John Cena, Nikki Bella versus the Miz and Maryse.
How long was that one?
9:40.
Are you including?
No, intros are not. Entrances are not included. Bell to bell, I will say it's under 9:40. I'll take the under. Taker.
Because
I'm an undertaker, obviously.
I want to take the under on that. Fuck.
We'll figure it out.
How much are you willing to bet?
We'll figure it out off mic.
If we can include the intros, I'm definitely taking the over. It's going to be 10 minutes of intros.
Yeah, it's going to be it's 4 hours. A match that will not get as much time. Did they change? Oh, they didn't. Okay, so this was going to be, there was a rumor there was a TLC match, but it looks like it's just a straight three-team tag. The Usos, the New Day, and the Bludgeon Brothers.
The New Day is going to go over because they have a new book out.
Sure. And they, I mean.
And they're great. I don't care
and
who
they
wins
hosted
this match.
Last
I like
year.
Every
they,
single yeah. one of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, the story is you want the Bludgeon Brothers to not get buried, but if you put them through a table or something, it's fine. I mean, it's going to be a good match.
This has a chance to be the match of the night, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. There's really no...
There's no shitty matches except the one we just talked about.
Yeah, and even that'll be fine for spectacle.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
Even if
I
you
disagree
think
completely.
Triple H and Sting was a bad match. It was long, and it had, like, all these run-ins. Remember, like, the worst... Even the worst...
It didn't make any sense. The run-ins didn't even make sense.
No, they didn't. It was great. Yeah. Another prop bet. What's the New Day team that wrestles?
Yeah, it's a good... I'm trying to...
Because Xavier's been the MVP of this team.
Does anybody have a New Orleans connection?
No.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I'm excited. No, I really do hope that they have a second line intro down that 8-mile ramp they're going to have.
Yes. Two things about the New Day. Number one, their book is out. We've already talked about this. Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth giving. I should give you the press copy of that.
Nice.
It's a wonderful, cute book. If you have children and you're listening to this, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
This will be your gateway.
Yeah.
This is the thing that will make you happy to watch wrestling, number one. Number two, they just appeared at AwesomeCon in Washington, D.C. this last weekend, and they did some Black Panther cosplay was top of the line. Best cosplay ever, but they had somebody professionally make their costumes.
Yeah.
This is a good reason to follow Xavier Woods on Twitter. People are like, why don't you do that for Mania? And he's like, copyright infringement, you dumb motherfuckers.
Yeah, I can do it at a con. No one cares.
This is not Rey Mysterio doing the Joker. Things have changed. Like, we can't just blatantly do Black Panther.
Yeah, especially when you want Disney to buy Fox to buy you.
Exactly. Yes. So just give it 2 years, and then they could do their Black Panther cosplay.
Yes. So other tag match on the card, Cesaro and Sheamus versus Braun and his mystery partner.
Mystery partner, I'm going to go with Mark Henry again.
Okay. I think I feel like do they want to put these belts on Braun or not?
Okay.
Because then I think you have to have an actual partner who's going to work.
Mark Henry.
Okay. I think Mark Henry's retired.
Okay, Mark Henry's not retired. He's still part of the company. Just because you're in the Hall of Fame doesn't make you retired. Kurt Angle.
Well, look at his age. He's like almost 50. There's no way he can wrestle in a match. So, okay. Mark Henry's a good choice. I honestly think it could be James Ellsworth because...
That's clearly the smart booking.
Yes.
It's so
too
fucked
smart.
Up to be like, that's the smart booking.
To pick this jobber. No, I think it's funny. I think that's one of the first Braun beatdowns that people remembered and got the guy a contract for a year. Monday, when him going to bring his partner out and putting on a sleeveless button-down shirt and glasses and saying, my brother's Braun, I'm Brainstroming. That was amazing.
He should have called himself Bubba Dudley.
He did look like that. He looked like Bubba Dudley, like on more
Bubba
steroids.
Strowman.
Yeah. I do like that. If you listen to that, Corey Graves, once again proving why he is the true successor to Bobby Heenan, is because he sold it immediately. Oh my God, that's Braun's brother. And then when he took the glasses off, didn't miss a beat. Oh my God, it's Braun Strowman. Like, it was Superman taking the glasses off. It was amazing. Also, he's feuding with Coach on Twitter. But Coach was like, Carrie, that's an adjective. What I do to the show. Because Corey called him vapid. And he had to post the dictionary definition of it. And then coach goes, Carrie, adjective, what I do every week. And Corey's like, that's a verb. Do you know that? Let's play a little bit of one of my favorites. Let's play a little Kevin Nash audio.
This is where the big boys play, huh? Look at the adjective, play.
Yeah, I don't know. Why don't wrestlers know what parts of speeches things are? I don't know. So, continuing with the card, the women's matches, Charlotte versus Asuka for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
This is probably the highest chance of an injury based on a crazy flip somebody does other than the cruiserweight.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy flip.
Being Charlotte
doing her twisting moonsault off the top to the
outside.
One
of the most majestic moves of all time just looks like a future injury.
Yeah, and because Asuka's got a catcher. And
oh, boy.
Asuka, Charlotte's got a lot of size on her. I think this would be great. I mean, Asuka's got to go over. I don't know if they're going to break the streak here. I think they still want to break it with Ronda next year. So
here's what I'm finger poke of doom.
Nice. There you go. Some more Nash for you. That'll be a great match, though.
Yeah.
Neither of them have to talk. They can just fucking wrestle.
This will be the PWG match of the night. Is it fair to say that?
No, that's Ali and Cedric. All right. So
what we're saying is there's a lot in common between the cruiserweights and the women's division, and there's better wrestling.
Pretty much. Not going to be great wrestling, but good storytelling, kind of, maybe, is Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax.
Squash match, clearly. Yeah. This is where The Rock comes out. They rerun the Rock-Roman thing, but they do Rock-Nia.
Yeah.
They're closer cousins.
Yes, holds her arm up and is like anti-bullying. Because
there
the storyline of this match is that Alexa Bliss, the little blonde lady who in real life had an eating disorder that literally almost killed her, versus Nia Jax, the plus size model and wrestler.
IRL real friends?
IRL best friends.
There you go.
And Alexa Bliss is fat shaming her.
Yep.
And also
Women's revolution.
Her partner is Mickey James, who they used to call Piggy James because she wasn't like 75 pounds. Yes, thank you, Jeff Bezos.
We triggered it.
I'm triggered all the time.
We have an Alexa, and Alexa Bliss is super strong and will always be mentioned on this podcast, so we trigger all devices named Alexa.
Yeah, none of those triggered it for some reason. I think they always can get around to going, well, we just tell stories here, and like if Nia wins, then it's saying bullying is bad. It's not exactly nuanced what they're doing.
No, it's not. It's very bad.
Because it's WWE. But they can always get away with it. But at the end of the day, they have to give the right person has to go over for that to work. Like when Triple H says a bunch of racist things about Booker T, Booker T wins, right? That definitely happened.
Oh, God, I fucking hate this company.
Okay. So what was going to be the piss break match, the U.S. title, between Randy Orton, Bob Roode, Jinder Mahal, was just going to be the drizzling shits, and I was going to, never mind. They added Rusev to it because he's over as hell and he's selling Rusev Day merchandise. Happy Rusev Day.
Happy Rusev Day. The fact that Cena said the fact that WrestleMania falls on Rusev Day, Rusev's going over. It's going to be great.
Cena gets it. Rusev teased after the show that he might bring the tank back.
Oh.
Yeah.
But they just have a tank through Bourbon Street?
Well, they're going to get it from the Mexico border.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, shit, is that... Never mind. Now I'm excited about the border.
He's just... Rusev's on the border going, Rusev Day, Rusev Day. This is a funny match. The Intercontinental Championship match between the champion, The Miz, new father, Mike Mizanin, Seth Rollins, and Finn Balor. They gave the best part of this match away for free on Monday. No. These guys worked like maniacs. They called back their previous matches. Allegedly, Tyson Kidd booked it.
Really?
Which is why it was so good. There was a callback to the move that took Finn out for a year.
This is going to be a perfectly great match that everyone will be too tired from because we'll just have had Rusev.
Well, this is not the order, so.
Okay, sorry.
We'll be tired because it's a long
day. This could be hour one or four.
Yeah. Do you plan on watching the Hall of Fame and NXT and this?
No.
Okay, well, you're missing out. It's WrestleMania week. Best match of the night coming up.
Oh, AJ's, yeah. Who's your pick?
Oh.
For Miz.
Some,
no, wait.
Do you care about the U.S.? Oh, yeah. Rusev's going to win.
Asuka's going to go over. Rusev's going to win. Nia's going to go over.
Okay.
Miz Seth
Well, Rusev's not going to win, clearly. Jinder Mahal is going to win. That's just what's going to happen.
All right, fine.
Finn wins.
Finn?
Yeah.
Even though they're trying to give Miz the title reign? The longest IC title reign?
Possibly.
They should take it off him so he can get home with his kid.
He actually... Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think he doesn't need... I mean, he doesn't... The belt is He'll be fine without it. I think Finn, they tried to put a belt on him once before, and he got hurt. This will be a chance for him. It's kind of like with in a smaller case, like Daniel Bryan a couple years ago, when he got the IC at 31.
Okay, I get that.
And Finn, did you see his new merch?
Yes.
Balor Club. For everyone. Balor Club's for everyone. It's his logo in rainbow colors.
I think he deserves the Warrior Award. Here's what Ultimate Warrior said.
Let me come down off my politically correct horse. that queers are as legitimate as heterosexuals.
How are they not?
That the anarchists, because queering doesn't make the world work.
Fantastic.
Wonderful. Now, there's something with the Finn thing. Do you, not that it doesn't matter at all, but I'm just curious because it's like there's been rumors that he's gay, and so
there's also been rumors that he sleeps with every woman there is. So
yeah, so maybe it is the Balor Club is for everyone.
Yeah, if anything, he's smart at marketing.
Yeah, okay, that's
what I think it is.
Yeah, good marketing.
This dude likes to have sex, consensual sex. That's it.
Do you ever worry
about...
That's
his gimmick.
Do you ever worry about isolated audio coming back to haunt you? No. Okay.
Not at all.
Best match of the night, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE Championship.
Here, I'm going to call it now.
Okay.
Finger poke of doom.
I'm going to call it now. They should do the bullet thing that they did from New Japan.
Yes.
Nakamura's got to win this.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
But it's going to be great.
Also, I wouldn't care if Nakamura lost as long as they let them do whatever they want. If this could be the entire year, if this could be Cena Styles for a year, but no talking.
Yeah, it's just them trying to like outdo each other. If they can get more than 15 minutes, I'll be happy with this 7-hour slog. The last match of the night.
It will
be the closing match of the night. Okay. It's not the last match we're going to talk about. Is Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship.
Okay, here's my other Rock callback. Reigns is going over. We already know that.
Yes.
Rock comes out. Mm-hmm. He does not come out to raise Roman's hand. He comes out to rock bottom. Brock Lesnar, setting up a feud for next year's WrestleMania. Because this was always supposed to, be Brock versus Rock.
Because Brock went over and then Rock got like his win back on a house show or some crap. But
so
it was,
this
they never
is how
really
you do it.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. You have the Rock already there. It wouldn't be that surprising. People would think you're going to get Roman. People end with cheers. Mm-hmm. That's how you book
Send people home.
There
happy.
You go.
Yes.
Now, and here's the thing. If they don't pay it off, if they actually don't do WrestleMania 35, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They've already got it. He's got his Rampage plug. That's your two Rock appearances for WrestleMania 34.
Yeah. The other way the Rock could come out on a less fun fantasy booking is a segment with Elias. I'm very excited to see Elias sing a song in the Superdome or the Silverdome, brother, wherever we're going to be. But yeah, I don't want Rock to bury him, but I mean, if he could come out and have a bit of fun, that'd be good. So the only match that has not been announced, with just 4 days until the granddaddy of them all, he's actually not a granddaddy, but it's The Undertaker versus John Cena.
He's got to be a granddaddy by now.
No.
Does Taker have kids?
Yeah.
Sorry, does the American Badass
no,
have
no.
kids?
No. It was the Ministry of Darkness. It was the Brood were his kids. Midian, Viscera.
So does Edge and Christian, do they have children? I think they do.
Not together, but yeah.
Yeah, so the Undertaker is a granddad.
Yeah, he's the granddaddy of them all. And John Cena might be a daddy of them all. But he's got a movie to plug too. Cock Blockers.
Yeah, just Blockers. Get it right.
Every picture of the
That's
logo
right.
has a cock on it.
But
it's actually a promo for your show. You Me, Them, Everybody.
That's right.
So there you go. Okay, this match, the storyline is that Undertaker last year lost a really bad match against Roman Reigns, and then he was like, I hate this so much, this fake shit. I'm taking off my costume and I'm leaving. I'm going descending into the stage / hell, and I don't want to deal with this fake shit anymore. Then they brought him back in January at a very special Raw, and he made a promo that made no sense, and they had all the lights on.
And this is your favorite man.
Yes,
this is your favorite undead man.
It's my favorite wrestler. So the storyline since,
because you like horrible wrestlers.
Okay, I was watching a Cena Undertaker match today from 2004. It's not going to be that good because it's 10 years ago and they can't move like that.
Oh, you're like shit.
So Undertaker's the best, and but the whole thing is that he's retired with his hot wife, and it's just like John Cena's like, hey, dead man, you got no balls, bro. And it's like, just leave the man be. So it's the closest they'll do to a heel turn for Cena, where he just keeps like just ragging on Undertaker for no reason.
Listen, John Cena is a social justice warrior.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Well, we're going to end the show with something that's I disagree. Yeah, no, so the story of them, so now apparently they think they've got enough. They want these WrestleMania moments trademark. You know, that's their big thing. And now they're going to have John Cena. I don't know, whether they're going to have John Cena in the front row and the Undertaker comes out. Like, what are they, like, I'm actually curious, because this match is 100%
happening.
You're
curious of how they're going to make this happen?
No, no, I mean, I'm just
sarcastic.
Which, what do you, just Cena comes out?
No, they do. Okay, well, you forgot the most important part of ever WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. The introduction of the Hall of Fame inductees.
Okay.
Kid Rock is a Hall of Fame inductee. He's going to have another mini concert like he did in the, it was WrestleMania like 25 or some shit like that. He plays American Badass. All of a sudden, Biker Taker comes out, and then they're like, fuck it, John Cena comes from the crowd, and they're like, let's do this. It's that simple.
Okay, there you go. Well, if you,
and then they reuse the New Day's line so they could play Cena's song.
There you go. Full circle.
That's booking, baby.
That's booking. So
they're
that,
not going to do that.
That's not going to happen. That's too clean. But yeah, this is the first time that John Cena and Undertaker will face off at WrestleMania. They have feuded before, and I just wanted to take time to end this show with John Cena used to be a rapper, when he was using, a lot of people have these advanced degrees, they don't use them, but when he had his PhD in Thugonomics and he was using them every week on
really
SmackDown.
Quick, before we end this part of the show, we are going to have a chat with Mike Sempervivi. You might know him because he talks about wrestling every day, no, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And he's got to deal with a lot of dum-dums, and I'm going to talk to him about one of those dum-dums. But before we go to an intelligent conversation with the very intelligent Mike Sempervivi, here's PhD? Doctor.
It's Doctor of Thugonomics, John Cena, in a graveyard. Okay. And wrestling's great.
What? You was expecting somebody else? Now you gonna hate on me? That's okay. I'll shake you right off. It's okay. I'm on fire right now. You heard? You need to listen up, Undertaker. See, I've been watching you ever since you debuted as Dead Man. You're full of more crap than a super-sized bedpan. And this whole thing's a front, man. You were never deceased. You drive from funeral to funeral just to hit on a priest. I heard rumors about you, dog. You used to hit on men often. Our 2-8 Paul Berry said you shared the same coffin. He was never dead, man. The whole time you was faking. And you beating John Cena? You gravely mistaken. See, you old news, dog. Fans won't even miss you. You ain't a dead man. You just a dead issue. And if vengeance, I'm gonna prove the big dog is all bark. I'm gonna claim my territory. Right on the mark. Word life.
Earlier this week, WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump tweeted what I think is the greatest wrestling tweet of all time that does not mention professional wrestling. He referenced NBC Universal, and he referenced Sinclair Broadcasting on WrestleMania week without ever actually mentioning the squared circle. I found this completely fascinating because Sinclair owns Ring of Honor, so I thought it was sort of blasphemous for a WWE guy to be putting over another company, but I also thought it was brilliant because WWE is in negotiations with Fox Sports for Fox to buy the program, the airing rights for Raw and SmackDown. So, as somebody who follows this completely, is Donald Trump the smartest wrestling promoter of all time, or is this dude just fucking nuts?
Well, can it be both somehow?
Somehow,
some way, Bully Ray Dudley, Bubba Ray, is also a part of this, going into WWE's Hall of Fame, yet working as an authority position with ROH. I wonder if he's got anything to do with this and if he is tied in, because if anybody would be tied into Trump, I could see Bully Ray being one of those people that could do Donald Trump's bidding. But, yeah, what a bizarre situation. Hey, look, if you look at it with the XFL and some of the funding that that the other group has now gotten, the Bill Polian-led spring football group, there are a lot of weird incestuous things going on with people that you would seemingly figure would work very well together, but but somehow are kind of working away from each other as well, too. It's very odd, but when it comes to Sinclair and ROH and those types of things, I have a feeling, I don't know if there's going to be some sort of reckoning coming at some point, but it is going to be an issue, maybe even far more than any tie that WWE would have to a Donald Trump.
Please expound. What do you mean by a reckoning for Sinclair and ROH?
I think, well, with WWE, and not that this makes it okay or anything like that, but it's like WWE is so big that we could have conversations, and there have been conversations like people of like Hulk Hogan's stature, who is, you know, who went out in disgrace, talk of him coming back. And we had talked about it on Wrestling Observer Live and places where it's like, I would think that the juice is absolutely not worth to squeeze, but there are other people where, you know, a lot of people, the ones that some that remember about it have forgotten. Some people just don't care. And their quote unquote universe is so big where you might be able to get away with that. Now think about bringing somebody, what Hulk Hogan did, back to an ROH. Much smaller, much more concentrated, and the people that are going to not be happy about that are going to let their voices be heard, and it's going to be heard far louder because it's a small, far smaller organization. With Sinclair and what's going on with their, you know, the muster, this current, there's always going to be something with Sinclair, but this current one with the must-read that Deadspin put out there, when it comes to Ring of Honor, if there's going to be a pushback from their fans, it's going to affect them far quicker and be far more impactful than a initial pushback to WWE being tied with anybody is. And Ring of Honor is already in a very odd position in that most of Ring of Honor's hottest stuff that they have going on has got nothing to do with Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. It might have to do with some guys that wrestle in Ring of Honor, like Cody Rhodes, like the Young Bucks, people like that. But the reality is they didn't get Adam Page over as a star so far. New Japan kind of has done that. Mm-hmm. And most of their most important things have been New Japan things or the All In show. I mean, they announced the first blood match with Cody Rhodes and Matt Taven. Nobody knows about that. That's probably their biggest feud and biggest thing that they have going on. Nobody's talking about that. They're all talking about the All In show and what the Young Bucks are going to do, you know, with Kenny Omega and Cody and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, you kind of see it right there where, you know, they don't even have a hold on their own wrestling thing, you know, from their fans, let alone being able to have hold on a political situation, which is out of their hands, that their crowd, and I'm making a general assumption here, but from what I have seen, their crowd is not necessarily, that their fan base that they have right now is not necessarily the type of people that Sinclair is aiming for when they aim these must reads.
Yeah, I don't think you're incorrect whatsoever. It's interesting that I didn't even think about the New Japan angle, considering that Access, the United States broadcaster for New Japan, is owned by Mark Cuban, who definitely does not align with either the Sinclair model or the Trump model.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And it's, you know, this is where a pure wrestling fan is going to throw his hands up as he's listening to this and go, what do you want me to do? And it is frustrating because of these. If you start taking away and start going up the ladder of who owns who in today's age, and this is just going to get far worse as time goes on, you can find something in almost any corporation that you can go, I don't like this. I'm not going to support this. But then you see what their creepy, you know, spider web is of things that they have under their fold, and you start having to really start making decisions. And again, it kind of goes back to what I was saying about, like, if you had a wrestling evil, I mean, who do you support? New Japan brings in Michael Elgin, or this company brings in somebody that you don't like who did something on the indies or has got priors for something, and you start pulling back things away, and it's like, okay, it makes it tough to support anyone. And when the two major wrestling companies in the world or in North America are Ring of Honor and WWE, and you see who they're owned by, it can be frustrating and it can really make you downtrodden as a wrestling fan who actually wants to try to do the right thing and walk a moral path and not support anybody and give money to anybody that you think is doing wrong.
Whenever that comes up, I always think of the examples of your John Cena's and your New Day's and your socially conscious wrestlers that are able to both support candidates under the table and to, on like and sideways, and also make the most amount of sick kids happy. That's like a bipartisan issue that to me is more valuable than most every single baseball team. I don't think that the WWE or Ring of Honor or wrestling in general is inherently more Republican or Democrat than any other of the major sports or the entertainment industry. It's just it's interesting to see, very similar to any other large industry, a handful of guys want the least amount of regulation and the most amount of power. It's not that crazy at all.
No way. not a surprise whatsoever. And, you know, you look at wrestling is still, there are a lot of newer fans who have come around, you know, post-Attitude Era, who really don't have a grasp at what this industry was built on and what it was filled with and what it is in still ways filled with, you know. This is a carny business. And it's not just wrestling. You look at any form of entertainment. If you were to go back and peel back the onion and, you know, you look at the money and some of the people that funded the hip-hop industry way back in the day, some of the money men out of Philadelphia and places like that, it's like you look at things in a lot different, you know, realm than you would look at it when you're just sitting there dancing to a song. There are, you know, nasty elements everywhere. And as wrestling, you know, continues on, it will be interesting to see, you know, from this new era. I mean, we're going through it with media, you know, with Sinclair now, with lots of things now, just how journalism is viewed. There is a lot of things getting turned completely inside out that we're just going to have to see what happens going forward. And the wrestling business is one of those things as well. Yes, there's going to be WWE, but where is ROH? What does Sinclair really think or care about ROH as we go forward over the next couple of years? How is Impact, you know, being owned by Anthem, a Canadian company, you know, there's a lot going forward. It's going to be very interesting to see where, you know, who shakes out of this, because there are going to be times, I think we are in a new era where, you know, choosing sides, you know, used to be the politics wasn't going to, you know, bother a product or things like that, but now more than ever, I think that's going to matter. And pressure on advertisers, we saw it with Fox, you know, the Ingram show and with Hannity after the nonsense that they've spewed, that it does affect. And people do see that. Does, you know, that actually works? So, you know, that type of pressure is going to change things as well, too. It's not going to change what a Sinclair thinks, but a company that's on the rise and lots of these small independent companies, you know, with the people they're catering to, you know, they're going to have to be more careful, and that's good.
You know, I think you're right with almost everything. You're saying that it won't affect your Sinclairs or your WWEs. It already has affected the WWE. If Snickers was not attached to WrestleMania, it would still probably be the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royale. But because fans were like, hey, Snickers, chocolate bar company, she was a pimp, it's no longer called that. I mean, there already is direct action, and the Mania card or the Mania lead up to the card has already been changed because of outrage. So it's not like this hasn't already affected the biggest wrestling company in the world.
I think you are right there. You are right there, but it'll be interesting. I'm interested, you know, as we go forward, as more, you know, kind of shakes out too, as far as, you know, people who made the decision from Snickers and things like that, and those people kind of talk off the record more and things where I'll be interested to know, you know, the pressure from WWE, because this is the problem. And I agree going forward, they have to be more careful. I mean, we talked about it on this show, you know, how much they have, you know, curved away from anything. As soon as Linda, you know, that they had nothing to do with this election, like they have in times past and mm-hmm. things like that, they've completely shut up. But Vince McMahon is still in control of that company. Stephanie and Triple H, being younger, being, you know, more diverse thinking, at least obviously not as tunnel visioned as Vince McMahon is, they are more aware of things that are taking place. And we'll have to see what the track record is going forward. But the reality is, if Vince wanted to dig his heels in and not change the name of the Moolah Battle Royal, I don't necessarily know if Snickers would have pulled out, or that Vince wouldn't have taken some sort of taken that to do something else. And that's always a thing with him, where I don't trust that they're going to be forward thinking or progressive or anything like that, because they're only doing it for a little bit of negative media attention. And every time that they've done something like this, there have been things that they've done afterwards that have been far worse. So until he's out of the picture and we go on to a new person, I have no trust that this is going to be a consistent thing at all. I mean, the fact that they even came up with this idea and then sat there shocked, did a video the way that they did, shows you how dense that they are. I mean, they of all the women, somebody said it the best, like it could have been Sherry Martel. It could have been the Sensational Invitational. But no, you had to go to Moolah where you knew this was going to be an issue. And the fact that nobody was able to bring this up and nobody was able to convince them before they went forward on it and tried to double down on it, is that just shows you right there that they're not moving forward in any sort of direction whatsoever.
I mean, it shouldn't have been the Sherry Invitational. It should have been the China Invitational. We clearly know why it's not going to be the China Invitational. And you can't name it after Sherry because, like China, died of a drug overdose. So while those are good ideas, the reality was never there. It was never going to be that. And Moolah is so old and...
Yeah, but I mean, but Moolah, you say that, but like it could, I mean, it was never going to be, it probably shouldn't be a China Invitational, but as much as influential as she is, you know, there are still many other women that you could have named that thing after, including Trish Stratus, which would have been a universal, and for, you know, anybody that rolls their eyes on that, I think universally out of almost anybody, there's somebody who you can't say anything bad about. The Trish Lita Trophy that you could have named would have been just fine.
We both know it was never going to be the Lita Trophy after what Lita did at the Royal Rumble, wearing her Time's Up unsanctioned gear. So that was never going to happen again.
I want to be the Gail Kim Battle Royal Invitational because I'll always love how she left the company where she just, as soon as the Battle Royal started, she dropped down, rolled out from under the ring, walked out, and never went back.
Yeah. Somebody that's coming back and probably shouldn't be is Daniel Bryan. A lot of people are excited about this. Cool. I am not because Talking Smack isn't going to come back, and that's the only reason why I care about Daniel Bryan because unlike most wrestling fans, I don't want him to suffer from arm CTE. Also, he's a real dum-dum who supported Jill Stein.
Well, I guess I wouldn't have expected anything else than Daniel Bryan and the Green Party, and maybe he's got some regret over that. We all do sometimes
nope,
over people we make.
Completely. Nope, I disagree completely because he said this the week of the election on Talking Smack. Who you should vote for is Jill Stein, not that far from the episode where AJ Styles came out as a flat earther. And yesterday on your radio show, you had a flippy floppy boy. Who did you have on the show yesterday?
Literally, Flip Gordon.
Exactly. Another flat earther. Here's my real question for you. Why is it so socially acceptable for wrestlers and athletes in general to be so dumb?
You really in this day and age, I mean, why is it socially acceptable for everyone to be so dumb?
Okay.
You know,
why, let's take this back. Step back a second. Do you know anyone in your circle, your work circle, let's say, I'm not asking for names here, but anyone in your work circle that is a flat earther?
That I know for sure, or that I would throw a dollar on the fact that they may be. Because I bet you, yes.
Okay. So do you think I'm in my beautiful, liberal, D.C., Chicago bubble where I'm able to mock these people so much that they don't come into my orbit?
No, look, they're in your orbit. They just may not let you know it sometimes.
So maybe
like, that's again, maybe I'm too cynical about it, but I look at some people that, like, that I work with that, like, these are the ones that have to put up a poster in their office with, like, today's motivational quote from who's the goofball Texas megachurch pastor that's bilking everybody right now?
Booker T.
No, but like this, you know, basically people used to really get on Reverend Ike about being a prosperity preacher, and it's the same thing that these goofballs do. But, you know, that sort of thing where it's like those people who – you know, they don't know why they support the Second Amendment. They just know that they don't want anything taken. I'm guessing some of those people could possibly be flat earthers. I just won't ask them about them, and they probably won't tell me because I'll end up heckling them.
But that was the best part about wrestling for 2016 and 2017. It was all Talking Smack. It was a mean bully espousing his very stupid beliefs over people that were slightly dumber than her. That's why I like Daniel Bryan so much. It has nothing to do with kicking or headbutts. Clearly, headbutts, dumbest move in fake sports. Why would you ever do that? But making fun of AJ Styles for believing the earth is flat is brilliant and wonderful. And now we just got this bearded dude again kicking people like it matters. It's a very, I'm the only one disappointed that Daniel Bryan's coming back in the ring.
Oh, you are not. In fact, I think there are a lot of people who maybe disappointed isn't the word, but are way nervous. And I kind of got played out for this on Wrestling Observer Live in that he's going to make, look, there are some guys like a Will Ospreay that I watch that make me cringe, but I'm going to be watching Daniel Bryan cringing for a completely different reason. In my opinion, Daniel Bryan won. Daniel Bryan, if he never came back, never did another thing, he won the pro wrestling. If you see how his career went, if you see what everybody has tried to do with him, what they've tried to say about him, how he won't get over, what he won't be able to do, and you see where he got the girl, he got the stand, you know, he got the title, he got the stand at the end of WrestleMania. I mean, all of these things, you know, some tragically storybook, like his father passing away after WrestleMania, but still storybook. I mean, there's something magical about Daniel Bryan. There just is. As cornball as that probably sounds to somebody listening, there is. There's something mythical about Daniel Bryan. And he won.
Yeah.
To me, if he never stepped foot in the ring again, to me, why are you doing this with the child, with the babe, you know, with the wife, the whole nine yards? Why? But that's what
you know
he
what?
Does.
Hopefully
fighters
just,
forever though.
He could change styles. He talked, I know this is a weird tangent. He talked about this on Total Bellas. Like he was going to do a whole new style. And if he all of a sudden starts wrestling like Roddy Piper or Hulk Hogan, good for him. He can do this until he's 60 without bruising his brain anymore. So like it is possible.
Well, not even that. Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
So, and that's what he's going to do, and that's the one thing that he is, that Dave Meltzer has talked about, that Daniel Bryan has apparently made very clear. He has been very fascinated with what Sabre's been able to do, and even more so than a Piper or a Hogan. That type of style can lead him to a long career. It's just one of those things when it comes to a flat back bump. You know, I how can I tell him not to do it if he's been cleared by so many doctors? But it's like when Evander Holyfield got cleared, you know, it's like I cringe because you can always find somebody to say everything. And it's just, I followed boxing and mixed martial arts and pro wrestling for a long time. And there are guys like Jake LaMotta that had been beaten up their whole careers, 90 years old, they're still talking, or they were still talking clearly. Mm-hmm. And you have people that take, get knocked out once, and they're just never the same. And I just, he had lesions on his brain or whatever it was that caused, you know, these seizures to happen. I mean, to get to that level, to me, well, everything looks good. Well, of course it does. He hasn't taken a bump in 2 years. He's been doing these hyperbaric chamber therapy things, which for Joe Namath, yeah, and Bill Romanowski and these people who had these long NFL careers, it's working for them. But guess what? They're not going back out there and getting hit by Ray Lewis or Lawrence Taylor next week. Or, you know, it shows you how old I am, you know.
Yeah,
but like, you know, you're not going out there. But Daniel Bryan's supposed to be going out there with the possibility of smacking his head. It's just crazy to me.
I do appreciate that you mentioned WrestleMania wrestler Lawrence Taylor. So that was nice of you. But Bryan will... He was going to do it regardless in a weird, messed up way. It's better that it's under the umbrella of WWE than New Japan, maybe. You know? Like,
bizarrely, yes. That's true.
So,
and you know what? WWE, I'll give it to them. It took balls because I didn't think they were going to clear them. I don't think they necessarily should have cleared them. I understand that, you know, and they said, look, send me to the best. And they did that, and the best said, look, we have no reason to not say that he could go. So they have reacted to that and let him go. But if anything happens, especially if anything happens under their watch, you know, it's a dicey, it took a set of cojones to do this, because if anything does happen, boy, it's going to be rough sailing from there.
It'll be interesting if the public ever gets to know the contracts everyone involved had to sign, who's paying for that insurance, if there was a threat of a lawsuit, all of the paperwork that makes this interesting that we'll probably never find out. That, to me, is the real story.
and who knows, but maybe we will, you know, there's the one thing about this is everybody is going to be so hyper-focused on it. There are players in the NFL, in the NHL that are looking at Daniel Bryan and looking at this. He is, and for right or wrong, he is going to be, adds a little bit more to his legacy too of he's the test case. Mm-hmm. He's going to be patient zero as far because there is one thing we know for sure. There is nobody's brain that has been looked at more in sports or in entertainment than Daniel Bryan's been. We know every baseline from him. We know every little thing. Well, we don't, but his doctors and the medical community know every little thing about his body and how his mind is working and everything else. And it will be interesting to see the battery of testing that he goes through kind of after everything because he's going to be checked out after each match where, again, we're if he does have level, like where's going to be cause for alarm? This whole thing is going to be, it's all a work in progress and he's the guinea pig for it. And it's just a, in some ways, very, very bizarre. And again, I don't want to say that I don't want to see Daniel Bryan again, but I definitely could have lived without him, but I obviously wish him the best.
I really hope, I hope that this is the thing that leads to maybe a lesser schedule for these performers, and maybe this is the thing that leads to health insurance for these guys. I don't think it's going to happen, but if those two things come out of it, it's worth it to me.
I still, there's an issue, there's a whole show about unionizing and wrestling that needs to be tackled and addressed, and people from the entertainment industry and you know, that should be weighing in on this. It's bizarre to me that they are not, you know, especially at this time where now more than ever, you can hold the heat to WWE and have the support and the attention behind you where you may actually be able to get something done where in the past, where it looked like people said you could, there was no way you were going to be able to. But that's probably a subject for a different show. But one thing, at least with WWE, if something does happen on their watch, even though technically, you know, you are an independent contractor, they are good at taking care of it. I mean, we see it with the drug rehab and things like that, you know, but other groups, you know, like a Sinclair, places like that, not so much.
Yeah.
When it comes to the schedule, you're exactly right. And as a fan of Japanese wrestling, look, these guys go on these tours. It's not like everything dries up and blows away, or it's not like you can't do TV if you run a little bit of a different pattern and a different schedule. You just have to be more creative with how you do things, which they have their formula, and it's going to be tough for them to ever break it.
Let's focus finally on the biggest weekend of the year. Neither you or I are going to WrestleMania weekend. You'll be enjoying it from Delaware, and I'll be enjoying it from Washington, D.C., enjoying it more because I won't be going to 18 indie shows before an eight-hour-long WrestleMania. Is there anything that you are going to miss because you're not going? Anything you're going to watch online to feel like you were there?
The music and the food in New Orleans and being able to sit there at Cafe Du Monde and just sit there at the water. That's the one thing. New Orleans is a awesome place. It is a fun place. And if you, I'm assuming this is like Vegas, although I've never been there. Like if you do it right, you know, you're just fine. There are going to be people this weekend who don't do New Orleans right. And New Orleans is going to do them repeatedly and painfully. But you know, it's the it's really the buzz that's around these events is what that's the one thing I miss, because I'm not sure how many of these indie shows. I know I probably would have hit Shimmer because I never had a chance to go see Shimmer live, and I'd love to do that on a Mania weekend. I always make sure I watch them on iPay-per-view and try to support them. Janela's, you know, Joey Janela has certainly carved himself out a crazy niche, and like that and Kaiju Big Battle as the late night shows, I get a real kick out of them. I mean, this, we used to call it when I was, you know, during the Attitude Era, we came up, I'm 42 years old, so me and my friends came up as wrestling fans, and we lived through the boom periods, you know, the first one with Hulkamania, and the contraction of wrestling going to Crockett and the NWA and WWF, you know, on to the Attitude Era. And by the time we hit the Attitude Era, it was like college. You know, we were in high school and college, and, you know, we had weed and we had all sorts of party supplies and things like that where we started calling it kayfabe week. You know, it was just like weird wrestling fans that are around. you put on old tapes that you had, you get around, you get fucked up, you have fun, and you watch wrestling, and you enjoy it. And basically, that's kind of what WrestleMania has become. Maybe not with all the party supplies and favors, but it's like, it's your chance to geek out and be a wrestling fan. So as great as like a Keith Lee and Chris Hero match, this place is going to be, or there's going to be this five-star match here, or this over here, it's some of that other goofball stuff. That's the stuff I'm most into, and that's the stuff that I kind of wish I was taking part in at WrestleMania.
For the people in your life that think what you do is silly, but they will ask you, what should I watch at WrestleMania? What do you tell them? What's the one match that you're going to try to convince someone to maybe enjoy the product and come back to the fold this Mania? Feel free to say Rousey if you think it's Rousey. Feel free to think if it's just going to be Nakamura Styles, because they're actually going to deliver. What's your match that you think is going to draw the, I don't want to say laughs, but let's just go for it, the laughs fan back into the fold?
Well, and it's way too douchey of a choice, but it's probably the right one. It is Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey and Triple H and Stephanie, because if you're a lapsed WWE fan, they have checked off all of your classic boxes with the build up to this, with the McMahon and with, you know, just everything about it. Where if you dropped off after the Attitude Era and like that big fight feel and the big wackiness, and you know there haven't been any, you know, too many stunts or anything like that when it comes to, you know, some of the old wackiness with an Austin or a McMahon, you still get that vibe coming off of Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle bucking up against the authority there. And they have been very careful with that. And I think that's an easy one if you're a sports entertainment. I know people cringe at that, but if you're a fan of that, I mean, that's probably the easiest one to get you in, because it's so goofy that it's endearing. And we'll have to see how the match is, but it's tough for me to believe that with Triple H, Stephanie, and Kurt Angle involved, being the pros that they are, especially on a big stage, that it's not going to deliver, even though it may not have a lot of legs after it if you don't like Ronda Rousey. But I think as a wrestling fan, I think even though the build has not been very good, AJ Styles and Nakamura and Asuka and Charlotte, I think for the fan that was a wrestling fan that may have gone away, mm-hmm. those are the two, because Styles and Nakamura can tell a story so well. And Asuka and Charlotte are probably going to be able to do that as well too. But I just think the dynamics with both of those matches are like, if you're sitting there reading a Pro Wrestling Illustrated in 1988, like, you know, of a dream match, like the Asuka Charlotte thing, like, that's kind of that way. And the same thing with Styles and Nakamura. Sure, we've seen it in New Japan, but the reality is most people didn't see it in New Japan. So what they're going to see out there from two guys that have basically are held back every week on TV by design, them going out there and hopefully getting like a half hour to tell a story, should be something else.
Do you think that Hogan will make an appearance?
No, I don't. I think we're getting close. Jimmy Hart is going to induct Hillbilly Jim into the Hall of Fame. Hillbilly Jim did want Hogan to do it. They have obviously came out that they were talking to Hogan. Mm-hmm. No decision was made. I think after the Moolah thing, if there is any sense in their heads, they don't push this, because I think they could have Hogan show up and it's going to get probably a big pop. And I think if they don't push it hard after the fact and it's a one-time thing, they could probably get away with it. I just don't know. Again, to me, it's not worth the headache. There are a million guys that could come back. It's not like you don't have Hogan's footage. It's not like you can sell something with Hogan's name on it. But to bring him on there, I know people say that some people don't care, or time has healed wounds. They don't talk to the same people. You know, you talked about at the beginning, maybe – we run with different packs than compared to some others, but I know some people that will never forget what Hogan said and shouldn't forget what Hogan said and how he said it, and are not going to forgive him or WWE if they bring him back. You know, they may accept it from WWE, but they don't have to accept anything from Hulk Hogan.
But the Andre the Giant documentary airs next week on HBO. They already had the premiere. Inevitably, there will be the trailer aired during WrestleMania. You don't think that, quite possibly, that's where they bring him back into the fold?
Hey, look, Hulk Hogan was on the red carpet. And I don't know. I didn't see any of the red carpet stuff. Not like it was going, it's even out there or anything. But, you know, I don't know how he was received. There was the picture of him and Triple H mm-hmm. talking. And, you know, again, I resigned myself because that's what wrestling is, that he is probably going to be back. I think they better be real careful on how they bring him back. And I've seen so many apology tours, you know, Imus just retired. How many apology tours did Imus go on in his life? And then you go back and you say the same thing. I mean, does Hulk Hogan really, does he really feel bad about what he said, or does he miss the limelight and need a couple bucks? Because, I think that's always what I think about.
I think we're getting our wires crossed here, because you think that Hogan's return, he needs to have some penance. And I think the exact opposite. I think, if anything, when that happened and when he was pulled from the WWE site and scrubbed from history, that was before our current era, the modern era, you might say. And if anything, it's just that the world has rotated back around to Hogan's side. Why repent? Embrace the gimmick. Yeah, that's who he was. He is Mr. America. That is Mr. America in 2018. I'm not going to apologize. I'm done apologizing. Hulkamania is back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he still wants to be for all of the people. It's not like he's changing his red and white and putting on a white hood and going and carrying around a tiki torch and going, what? I'm just going to the barbecue, you know, and being a douchebag that way. I mean, he still wants to be Hulk for everybody, and the only way you can do that is to have penance or to fake it, which is what I believe is going to happen here. Because, again, it's not like I have any axe to grind with Hulk Hogan or anything like that. But, again, how that whole thing shook out. Well, it's like he wasn't like singing along to an NWA or a Papoose song. You know, he didn't slip out and say it, you know, trying to recall a Richard Pryor bit. He said what he said and the way that he said it. And when you lay it out there like that, it's hard for me to believe that you're just going to come back off of and be all sorts of reformed just because you missed a spotlight.
Hold on. If he actually did try to play it off like he was doing a Pryor bit, I think I'd be on his side.
If he, like, he was actually having sex with Bubba's wife doing the Chris Rock N versus black people joke. Yeah. Can you imagine that? Actually, he would have never been fired, and he probably got more work.
Yeah, I would. I totally could imagine that. What are you talking about? I know that you're not. If listeners of your radio show know that you're not, you don't think the build for this Mania has been that great.
Nah, it really hasn't. It really, really hasn't. This is where the name is bigger than anything, and where the talent is bigger than anything. Because one of the, like, you know this, watching WWE sometimes, like, you put Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles out there for 10 minutes, you're going to get, you'll probably get something great. But if you put them out there for 10 minutes under the guise of a really stupid storyline, and you're going to have some BS ending, which you're just only doing because you needed to continue on to the next week, well, it kind of sucks. But when you're looking at them on WrestleMania's card without all that goofiness, and they should be allowed to go 20 minutes, a half hour, and to be unshackled to tell their story, that's going to be awesome. And there's a lot of that up and down this card. I mean, Asuka and Charlotte has been an awful storyline, how they have portrayed Asuka and Charlotte at times to push other storylines have been, I mean, it's just, that has not worked out. You know, Styles and Nakamura, you know, everything about that has been weak. Yeah, the main event's been great, and Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns has been okay, but most of the other stuff has been built up terribly and has just basically been kind of limping to get to where we're getting for WrestleMania. But when you look at the matches on paper, without any of the goofiness or the gimmicks or anything like that, or the nonsense that they've had leading into it, it actually looks very good.
Yeah, I think it looks on paper that it has potential to be, like you said, on paper, best Mania ever.
I don't know. Brian was saying that same thing, and it's going to be tough, even though there's so much talent on this show. You know, people are WrestleMania 17, even though, again, that the lineup was not as good. You know, there was a different vibe and a different feeling that I think plays into these type events too. I mean, look, you can have the greatest New Japan show with 10 five-star matches on it. If you don't feel New Japan or you're not emotionally invested, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be a legendary show. You know, it's why people remember Hogan Andre, even though the match blew. They all they remember is those two facing off with each other. I think The Rock and Hulk Hogan are the same way. You know, I don't. Sometimes I think people probably don't remember who even won that match, but they remember them facing off.
I think,
and they
perfect.
Remember it was awesome.
I think it's perfect that you brought that up because I think The Rock will come back this Sunday, and I'm going to say I've already talked about this in the first half of the show with Chris, but I'm going to go with The Rock. And gets involved in the main event with Roman after the match. After Roman is coronated, then he attacks Brock, setting up WrestleMania 35, or just sending the people home happy.
It could be the case. Brian talked about it with Brian on the show. He is still, and I could believe this, and it would make WWE sense. You know, with any issue, the problem with The Rock is even planning something out for next year is movies. Is movies and
oh,
how,
I don't disagree.
You know, he could be doing... Wait, say again?
I do not disagree whatsoever, but that's why the instant run-in, you get your plug for Rampage, which is in theaters next week, and I don't see that much hype for that movie. This could hype that movie up, and then if their feud happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You blame it on Brock next year. He's going back to UFC. It's easy.
I get it, and I can see, you know, and look, that is a scenario that could absolutely play out, but I could also see them looking at this more as, let's just go out there and have him sing with Elias, or have him bandy back and forth with you know, the Road Dog, Jeff Jarrett, Elias, and The Rock out there,
sure.
You know, singing with My Baby Tonight. Like, I could actually see that being, them having more impact doing that, maybe, even than the Rock and Brock, because the problem with The Rock is, if you do that at the end, you have stolen all of what, in theory, is quote-unquote Roman Reigns' heat, and we've already seen with Rock out there trying to coronate Roman Reigns after the Royal Rumble, people aren't going to buy it anyway. So there's almost no way, if that match goes on last, there's going to be a portion of the crowd that's not going home happy, which I think it's going to be the main event. But if they're truly about, you know, quote-unquote smiles on faces leaving the building, they would probably put Ronda and Kurt Angle on last.
See, I would disagree. Let's talk about the other match that isn't technically on the card yet but will be. The Undertaker / American Badass / Mark with his wife's name tattooed across his neck versus John Cena. That will inevitably be part of the card. That's part of the build. I think it should go on last. I think it should be a surprise match. They could still do this. You have Kid Rock perform the theme song. Undertaker comes out in his motorcycle. He's got a Kane for Mayor bumper sticker. Everyone's kind of happy. Cena goes over clean in 5 minutes. Finger poke of doom. That's my ideal. That's what I want to happen. That's not going to happen. How do you see this playing out?
It's going to be interesting. I don't know where you put this thing. I don't know how long it's going to be either. It's hard for me to believe that they're going to do 15 minutes, but it's possible. I can almost see this whole thing being the buffer, as bizarre as it sounds, with like they have something hot, like maybe like a Styles Nakamura, and then basically you got to kind of cool everything off and you do something long skits. I mean, there's so much downtime on a WrestleMania where, you know, you give it some time and then you come back with Cena in the ring, you know, hey, it's great to be a fan. It's great to be here. I love, you know, access. I love seeing the Hall of Fame people. And then there you go. And then that's the surprise kind of coming out of a non-official intermission, I think could be maybe the way that you go ahead and do that. Because I think if you start pushing it too late into the spots of like Ronda and Angle and some of the other stuff, Brock and Reigns, and the big stuff that's coming up at the end, I think you're almost kind of asking for it. I think you can use it as candy there in the middle of the show, get the performance out of the way, and there you go.
And do you think it's going to be Taker, or do you think it's going to be American Badass?
I think it's going to be Badass. I think everything has made sense. Well, to me, it would make sense to do that because they have seemingly intentionally said the dead man so often and so much that he's dead. The dead man is dead. Those boots and all that stuff got left in the ring, but now with, you know, Creep Rock coming back, you know, for the Hall of Fame thing, it just makes sense. And as dumb as this is going to sound, because I was one of the few people, I liked that gimmick at the time because it was like, after, well, because here's why. After all of those years of being like the dead man, which is completely ridiculous anyway, it was like, what can this dude be as a believable thing? And what he was what he was. I mean, a libertarian biker, Texas,
he's a
you know,
idiot.
Big,
that's what he beer, is.
Beer-swilling jackass. But that's look, that, what else could the Undertaker be? So I always thought that was like, if you were trying to freshen up the Undertaker and make him something, but still believable, they did a damn good job with it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I like that we both use the words believable and who's going to win about the dead man.
Well, that is exactly. It's the whole thing. I mean, it will always amaze me. I mean, the gimmick in the arguably one of the history of entertainment. I mean, Frankenstein, Godzilla, Dracula, and The Undertaker. And people bought that for so long. It's just, I don't know. It's amazing to me.
I'm going to end with this fun note. Just FYI, right before our little chat is on the podcast, I know you didn't hear it before because that's not how podcasting worked. We ran the Cena clip from their like 03-04 feud that involves the Doctor of Thugonomics urinating on The Undertaker's grave in a graveyard. So they have run this feud before. It's a pretty solid feud. Everything's a joke. Wrestling is great.
He said that. Now I can see him doing it and hear him rapping with the headband on out there. Oh, my.
The dumbest shit in the world, but John Cena makes children happy, and that makes me happy. Thanks for doing this. People could follow you on Twitter. Where?
At Semper Vivi. Know your Latin. Always alive. S-E-M-P-E-R-V-I-V-E. I think it's also a house leak plant as well, too, but we'll go with the always alive part. But that's pretty much the only social media that I dabble in, and that's really all I need when I'm on the air 7 days a week for Wrestling Observer Live.
I listen to you at 3 p.m., but you also are on at what times?
3 p.m. and 8 p.m. That's when I think it will leave. The satellite picks us up for, like, American forces and stuff like that. But 3 and 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Saturdays. That's usually a replay day, but because it's WrestleMania weekend, I will be live at 1 p.m. on Saturday to lead you into all of the stuff that's going to be taking place, including the UFC show, which we also cover over at Wrestling Observer. And then Sundays from 6 to 8, that show is available on Sirius XM Rush Channel 93, as well as like CRN, TuneIn, iHeart, and all sorts of other Sports Byline and SB Nation affiliates.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on anytime.